Perek Dalet opens up. Mordechai yoda es kol asher nasa. Mordechai knew everything that was done. Veger Mordechai es begodav. Mordechai tore his clothes. Veilbash sack veifer. He wore a sack. Veitz basaycher veizak zeak gedela umara. He went out into the city and he let out a bitter and loud cry. So the Mepharshim explain that Mordechai knew exactly what happened between Haman and Achashverosh. And they say the Baal Acholim Higidloi. The Targum Sheni is actually a bit more specific, and he says that Eliyahu HaNavi himself came to Mordechai and told him that Haman tried to bribe Achashverosh, tried to give him the money, and Achashverosh didn't want to take it, and they both agreed on killing out the Jews. Mordechai told him how Haman tried to convince Achashverosh, and he was actually successful in convincing Achashverosh. And all the persuasive reasons that he gave him, that the Jews already sinned, you have nothing to worry about, and therefore, even if you kill the Jews, Hashem will not punish you. Vayavai says, Pasuk Beis, number 2, Vayavai ad lifnei shar ha-melech, ki ein lavi al shar ha-melech lelavush sak. He came all the way to the gate because he cannot enter the palace wearing a sack. Now, what the Pasuk is trying to tell us over here, it's a bit strange. Why doesn't he take off his sack? Remember, Mordechai is an advisor to the king. He was held in a very high esteem. He was an honored man. He was very accepted in the palace. So why didn't he take off his sack, put on a nice suit and tie, and address Achashverosh personally, since he was very close to him, and tell him, listen, you know, let's try to work this out. Why do you want to kill out all the Jews? But he actually didn't do that. He wore a sack, and he went all the way until the gate, but he did not go in. What the Pasuk is trying to tell us over here is that Mordechai is trying to show everybody that there is no way, b'derech hateva, in the ways of the world, to try and annul this gezerah. Because what Eliyahu HaNavi told him, that it's not only Haman and Achashverosh who made up to kill the Jews. This was actually a gezerah. This was actually a decree that was set by Hashem himself. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara why the Jews deserved such a severe punishment of killing out the whole nation. One mandomar says that it's either because they nenum seudosa shel Achashverosh, they enjoyed the seuda of Achashverosh. The other mandomar says because they bowed down to the statue, the pesel of Nebuchadnezzar many years before, who was actually the king of Babel. So this was a serious gezeirah, not only by Haman and Achashverosh, but also by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And Mordechai is telling everybody, listen, there's no way that we can go ahead with any ishtadlus mitzad ourselves to try and convince Achashverosh otherwise. We can't use any political influence. We can't contact AIPAC and try to get them to help us out. It's all up to us. We have to do tshuva on ourselves because that's the only way we could annul this gezeirah. Pasuk Gimel, v'chol medinu medinu makom asher dvar amokoy amelech v'dosim agia, evil godol ha'yehudim, v'tzom v'chim mispeid, asak v'efer yutzal ha'rabim. Every country and state that this decree reaches, all the Jews in the city it says, tzom v'chim mispeid, they were crying, they were fasting, and some of them actually started writing their eulogies because they knew that this was the end and they're all going to die. Pasuk Dalet, v'tovayna naris Esther v'sarisel, v'yagidu lo. The maids of Esther came over to her and told her what Mordechai has done. V'tishchalchal ha-malkal mo'ed. Esther was very shaken up. V'tishlach begodim lahalbish es Mordechai lahasir sakoim be'olav v'loy kidol. She sent clothes to Mordechai and he did not accept them. Now, it's a bit weird. Like, what's going on over here? Esther thought that Mordechai ran out of clothes. He didn't have enough money to pay the laundromat. What happened? What was she thinking? So, what she was trying to do was to tell Mordechai, okay, I understand that you're wearing a sack, but let's try and deal with the situation and with political influence. You know, we can try to address Achashverosh and try to reason with him. But Mordechai refused to accept the clothes that Esther sent him, sending her a message that there is no way, like we said before, there is no way for it to do it naturally. We have to go ahead and do tshuva, because it really all depends on us. And there is no way we can convince Achashverosh otherwise. Pasuk Hey, V'tikra Esther l'hasach misarisi ha-melech. Esther calls hasach. Asher hamin defanev tetzveil al-mordechai ladas mazeh ve'al-mazeh. So, over here she's sending hasach to try to understand from Mordechai a little bit better what is going on. Why is he so convinced that there's nothing naturally that they could do? Now, the Mefarshim explained that Hasach was actually Daniel. The Navi Daniel was an advisor to not only Achashverosh, but many kings before him. He was very old at this point, and he was assigned by Haggai to be the personal advisor to Esther. And Esther is now sending him to Mordechai to find out what's going on. Pasuk Vav, Vayetzal Hasach al-Mordechai, Hasach goes out to Mordechai, El-Rechoy Vair, Asher lifnei Shar HaMelech. He goes out to where Mordechai is sitting. Vayagad lo Mordechai is called Shekaro. Mordechai tells him everything Eliyahu Navi told him about the Gzerah that was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Ve'esparashas HaKesef Asher Omar Haman Lishkol Al-Ginzei HaMelech Ve'yudim La'obdom. He knows all about the money that Eliyahu Navi told him, that as well, that Haman tried to bribe Achashverosh to kill the Jews, and Achashverosh refused to receive this bribery, telling Haman that there's no, I don't need to be bribed to kill the Jews. I hate them even more than you, so you don't have to try and bribe me in order to kill the Jews. Like we mentioned before, Achashverosh was a great anti-Semite on his own right. Pasuk Ches, Ves'pashegan aksav adas v'shenitan m'shushon. This is the letter that was sent out to kill out all the Jews. V'nosan lo'il ha'aris es Esther. U'ha gidlo, to show this note, this letter, this decree to Esther. U'tzav es lo'il lo'il ha'melech l'ischanen lo'i u'levakash m'lefonov al amo. He actually not only asks Esther, but he orders her to go and try and convince Achashverosh to beg for mercy. Now, why does he need to order Esther? It says Latzavis Aloshon Tzivu. He's ordering her. I'm giving you an order. Why does it have to be so serious? Why can't he ask her nicely? So Mefarshim explained that Esther really did not want to go, because up until this point she was married to Achashverosh, but it was against her will. So even though Achashverosh called for her and he was intimate with her, still, she could go ahead and be married to Mordechai once Achashverosh dies, for instance, because it's done by us, it's done against her will, so there is no reason why she can't be married to Achashverosh. But if she goes willingly to Achashverosh, then it's already something that she's doing on her own account, and then she cannot be married to Mordechai anymore. And that's something she obviously didn't want. At which point, Mordechai has to go ahead and give her an order to go ahead and beg for mercy from Achashverosh.
Why should that help? He just said it can't help it. Only if the Jews themselves do tshuva. So that goal's not going to help. Why should her bidding help more than Mordechai if we were
to
put a
suit? It's a good question. So, as we're going to see in a minute, that Esther realizes that what Mordechai said was right, that they have to do tshuva on their own part before they do any type of ishtadlus, and therefore she's going to ask him to tell everybody to fast for 3 days, and she herself is going to fast for three days, and then she's going to go ahead and try to address Achashverosh.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
For the Mefarshim who learned that Esther was Mordechai's niece,
yes,
how did they learn this pasuk? It would have to be...
Oh, they asked to order her?
Yeah.
That's a good question. So even though until now was done by Ines, you could still understand that she didn't want to go and be with Achashverosh willingly. It's still
regardless of the consequences.
It's still, but that's a good question. It's not as stark as it would be according to the Mando Amar that held it. He was married to her. Where are we? Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes. V'yavai Hasach V'yagal Esther Es Divrei Mordechai. Hasach comes over and tells Esther everything Mordechai told her. Esther sends Hasach back to Mordechai. And what does she tell him? Kol avdi ha-melech ve'am medinas ha-melech. All the slaves of the king, all the nations of the king, yoidim asher kol ish ve'isha asher yover ha-melech al-chetzer ha-pnimis asher lo yikore. Anyone who comes to the inner part of the palace without being called, achas dos al-homis, there are two guards standing there. And anybody who walks in without an invitation, they right away go ahead and kill him right there on the spot. Anyone who gets the golden shavit from Achashverosh will live. I was not called to the king for the past 30 days. What is Esther really telling Mordechai? It's true. I agree with you. I'm willing to go over to the king. However, the timing is poor. Why is that? Because when they just got married, right now they're married for about 5 years. When they first got married, she was called to Achashverosh every single night. And even later on, she was called by Achashverosh very frequently. And Esther is telling him, it's been 30 days since I've been last called to Achashverosh. So he's about to call me anyway, regardless of what happens. So why don't we just wait a little more? He's going to call me anyway. And then I don't have to go willingly to Achashverosh, and we can keep the situation where it's done against my will and not with my initiative. And that's why it's worth it to just wait a little bit more. Because I don't want to be killed. But Targum says another thing, that Esther was telling Mordechai that the person who's in charge of inviting people over to the king is Haman. So not only is Haman in charge of everything that goes on in the kingdom, but he's in charge of who is going to see the king, who's going to have a personal audience with the king. And obviously, Haman does not want me to go ahead and go to the king. So there's no way he's going to invite me to the king. And so we just have to wait a little more, and then I'm going to get a personal invitation from the king, because he's bound to see me. He hasn't seen me for 30 days.
Why would Haman care? He doesn't know yet. Haman doesn't know that she's Jewish yet, right?
It's true, but he's he doesn't want anyone to change this decree.
Oh, so he's assuming that that's what she would do. Okay.
Yeah. He wants to make sure that no one iffy and questionable will be seeing Achashverosh, because remember, they just had set out this decree. They sent it out to everybody, and if he sees the queen trying to address Achashverosh, she's gonna become a little suspicious. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayigid L'Mordechai as Divrei Esther. Now it's interesting to note that all of a sudden Hasach disappears. Daniel is not referred to anymore in the pasuk. What's the reason? Haman realized that Daniel is going back and forth between Mordechai and Esther, back and forth. He picked up on what's going on. This is Sam, this is addressing your question as well. And therefore he went ahead and he killed Daniel. And that's why this pasuk doesn't mention the Hasach anymore. Because Haman picked up and realized what's going on and he killed him. Now that was a very bold move, because Daniel was an advisor, a very important and respected advisor, not only to Achashverosh, but to many kings before him. And Haman just goes ahead and kills them without asking anybody. Just shows us the control and power that Haman actually had. He wasn't even afraid to kill such a close advisor to the king. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Mordechai l'Hoshuv el Esther. Mordechai returns a message to Esther. Atadami benafshech limold b'samelech mikol ha-Yehudim. Don't think in your heart that you will be safe in the king's palace. Pasuk Yudal, Ki macharish tacharishi. If you will be silent, b'es azois, at this time, revach v'atzala yamod la-Yehudim m'makom acher, the Savior will come from a different source, a different place. V'atu b'es avich toivedu. You and your father's lineage will be lost. Maybe it's just for this occasion that you have come to be the queen. Now, it seems a bit perplexing, the whole back and forth between Mordechai and Esther. Esther is presenting to Mordechai a strategic plan, and it makes perfect sense. All you have to do is wait a little bit more. I'm going to go to Achashverosh anyway. I'm going to plead to him, and hopefully we'll be able to turn the decree around. And what does Mordechai reply? He just loses it. Oh, well, what do you think you're doing? Oh, you think you'll be able to run away? You're not going to run away. Hello, Esther is telling you a good reason. Why don't you address the reason that she just said? Mordechai is just losing it and getting upset at her. What's going on over here? So the Reshiva of Chofetz Chaim explains that this is what's called talking to a Negia. Mordechai was sensing that Esther, even though she presented a very smart and sensible plan, still under the surface and deep in her psyche, something that maybe Esther herself did not realize, Esther was kind of not as urgent and desperate to go ahead and go to the king and try to change this decree, because deep down in her mind she was thinking, you know what, I'm not so much in danger as the rest of the Jews. And Mordechai was picking up on this, and he's telling her, I want you to know that what you're thinking deep down in your mind, that you're going to be spared, is not true. You're going to be killed with everybody else. And you and your father's lineage will be lost forever. So you better go right now to the king, just like I told you. Pasuk Tezvav, V'tayimer Esther l'hashiv el Mordechai. Esther returns a message to Mordechai. Lech kanois eskol ha'yehudim ha'nimtzayim b'shushan. Gather up all the Yehudim that live in Shushan. Remember, as we said before, the main concentration of Jews lived in Shushan at those times. That was like the borough park of those days. You should fast, do not eat or drink for 3 days. 3 days, night and day. Me and my maids will be fasting. Remember, her maids are Jewish. I will come to the after these 3 days. I will come to the king without an invitation. I'm lost not only from Olam Hazeh, but I'm lost for Olam Haba as well. I'm lost not only from you. I'm going to be lost. Won't be able to be married to you anymore, according to one man of Omar. But I'm losing my Olam Haba as well. I'm going willingly to a guy and have an intimate relationship with him.
Why did the girls that were with her, why did they have to fast?
They were Jews as well. They were Jewish too.
All Jews have to fast.
Yeah. And we mentioned before that Haggai. Yeah, they were Jewish. Haggai assigned to her seven maids. Unbeknownst to Haggai, they happened to be Jewish. And so they were going to fast together with her.
Part of the population.
Yeah, yeah. And they actually gathered 12,000 Kohanim who lived in Shushan at the time. And they held a Sefer in one hand, a Sefer Torah in their left hand. And they blew the Sefer. All the Jews gathered up together. They saw Mordechai sitting there in the middle of the town, and they understood that this is a serious, serious situation. And so everyone gathered together, they started blowing the shofar, they were davening and crying, and apparently this tshuva was really deep regret for what they have done, and as we're going to see later, it was effective. Mordechai went ahead and gathered everybody, and they fasted. Just note, it's very interesting, you know, now we fast for 1 day and we're finished, we're gone after 1 day. Those days, they were able to fast for 3 days straight, both night and day. And they were able to do it.
It was Pesach besides.
What's that?
It was Pesach.
Right.
Besides.
Very good point. And so just one more point. In Pesach Yitzayin, this last Pesach, it says, V'yavor Mordechai. Mordechai was over. What is that's referring to? Over means to violate. He was over an avera. He was violating something. What was he violating? So that's Pesach. what you were mentioning. He violated the Pesach, because this happened to be the first day of Pesach, and they were going to fast on Pesach. Now, why couldn't Mordechai just wait gather up all the Jews and tell them, listen, go home, make the Seder, have a lot of Kavanah, do the mitzvah properly. And then after Pesach, we're going to get together again. We're going to have the fast for 3 days. And then, hopefully, we'll be doing tshuva. Why couldn't he wait till after Pesach? So, the reason is because Mordechai knew human nature. And if you wait, even just for just a few days, that feeling, that desperate feeling that I'm about to, even though they knew they're going to be killed, and the situation is very severe, very serious, that the sense of desperation will be lost over Pesach, and therefore Mordechai wanted right there on the spot to go ahead and do tshuva. Because he knew that if he just waits a little bit more, that feeling will be lost. And therefore, it's important to do it right there. And then, even though he was going to be violating the Pesach and fasting on the first Yontif. Okay.
That's very true.
What?
That's very true.
True?
It's very true what he was thinking. Because right when something happens and you realize it's no good, right now you can really feel it. But if you let a couple of days go by, it probably won't leave like that, but it won't be the same. You won't maybe do shuva like you did at the beginning.
Exactly. That's why you wanted to make sure.
That's human nature.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Absolutely.
And Mordechai picked up on that, and therefore he wanted them to fast on the first day of Pesach, even though it was Pesach itself. Okay, just a few minutes about Tu B'Shvat, since it's Tu B'Shvat tonight.
Oh, it is today?
Yeah, tonight and tomorrow, right? I think so.
They were actually not drinking either.
No. No food, no drink for 3 days.
For 24 straight. Hours.
For 72 hours.
I mean, 72 hours.
72 hours. So
can you exist like that? I guess.
Well, apparently those days there were, yeah. It's called the Rida Sadir. So generations get weaker and weaker as we go along. So what they could have done those days, we can't do today. We can barely fast for one day. Okay, Tu B'Shvat is very, very interesting. We're going to discuss a little bit of an unconventional idea about Tu B'Shvat. The Bnei Sachar brings down that Tu B'Shvat is keneged Tu B'Av. Now, the Olam, the world was created in Tishrei, but it's a machlokes actually in the Gemara if it was created between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, if it was created on Tishrei or on Nisan. Now, according to both Mandarim, it wasn't actually created on the first day of Tishrei, and Aleph Tishrei or Aleph Nisan. That was the day that Adam was created. So the world was created 6 days earlier on Chaf Hei Elul or Chaf Hei Adar. And the Gemara in Sita says that 40 days before the baby comes out, they tell him, they say exactly who he's going to marry. And so too, before Adam was created, they start preparing in Shemaim 40 days before. So if you do 40 days before, it comes out to be either Tu B'Av or Tu B'Shvat. That's 40 days before the world was created. And Tesis in Rosh Hashanah says that actually it's no machlokes when the world was created. Really, Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, they're both right, both Mandarim and the Gemara are right, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Just in Tishrei, it was Allah b'machshava, Kadosh Baruch Hu planned on creating the world. And on Nisan, that was actually when Hashem actually created the world. That was the real creation of the world. Now, what does that mean? Hashem had to plan half a year before to create the world. He couldn't just go ahead and create it. So, the Bnei Sachar explains that there's really, Hashem was planning to create the world initially with only Midas Hadin. He wanted it to be strict world. You follow the rules. You don't follow the rules, you get punished. And then he realized the world cannot exist with only Midas Hadin, with being so strict. Therefore, he added Midas Harachamim. So, it's really two different realms that the world is existing. For those who are able to live up to Midas Hadin, they can live through Midas Hadin and such a harsh judgment. For them, they will be living in the world with Midas Hadin, like Rabbi Akiva, Yaakov Avinu, and so forth. For those who can't live with Midas Hadin, they live through Midas Harachamim. So Midas Hadin was created in Tishrei, and Midas Harachamim was created in Nisan. And that's why Tu B'Av, which is the creation of Tishrei, has to do with fire. Because what was the celebration on Tu B'Av? They were celebrating the finish of cutting the trees for the Mizbeach, for burning the trees in the Mizbeach. Why did they have to finish in Tu B'Av? Because after Tu B'Av, after the 15th of Av, the sun is not so strong anymore. And they were afraid that there might be worms in the wood. And that's why they had to stop cutting the wood. And they celebrated when they finished cutting the wood for the Mizbeach. And that is associated with fire, which is Midas Hadin. Tu B'Shvat is associated with water, watering trees. That's what Tu B'Shvat did. Water symbolizes Midas HaRachamim. It just flows, it goes everywhere. That's Midas Chesed Rachamim. And Pesach is the letters Chas, which is having mercy. And so that's the idea of Midas Hadin and Midas HaRachamim. Now it says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. The person is like a tree. What does that mean? What does it mean a person is like a tree? Now, a tree has roots, and it's got the branches. The roots are concealed in the ground, and the branches are exposed.
Probably open.
Yes. And what a person is a bit like a tree, just he's upside down. The hair are the roots, if you have hair. I don't. But the tree, the legs are the branches that are sprouting fruit. Now, why is it like that? Because a tree is physical. And if you're physical, so you get, your roots are getting its sustenance from the world itself. But a human being is spiritual. We have chelek lekamima, we have our spiritual neshama. And that's why our roots, our hair is getting its sustenance all the way from the heavens, from Shamayim. It's brought down in the Zayar that the neshama is really like this long, long pipe coming all the way down from Kisa Kavod, from Shamayim, all the way down to the human being. And the tip of this long spiritual pipe is what reaches the body, and that's where we get our neshama from. And so if you think about it, if a person was in Gan Eden, then he would really be upside down, because in a spiritual world, the roots are down and the legs are up. So in Gan Eden, we should really be upside down. And this is actually found in the Torah. When Yitzchak Avinu meets Rivka for the first time, what does it say? It says, "V'tipol Rivka Malo Gamal." She fell from the camel. What was so shocking about meeting Yitzchak for the first time? She fell. She fainted. What's going on over here? So the Panech Rosa brings down a medrash. It's a likut of midrashim that's brought down from Balei HaTosfos. He explains that after Yitzchak, what actually happened in the Akedah was that Avram actually killed Yitzchak, and there was Tchias HaMesim. He came back to life. But after that whole experience, he had to recuperate. And so he went into Gan Eden for whatever amount of time. And when Rivka came to meet him for the first time, Yitzchak was actually coming out of Gan Eden. And because he was in a spiritual world, he was upside down. And so when Rivka saw this, she wanted to be like her husband. She wanted to build a good rapport with him. So she also fell from the camel, and that's why she wanted to be upside down. Very interesting medrash. And so that's why, since he was in a spiritual world, he was upside down, because the roots, again, are down, and the legs, which are the branches, so to speak, are up. When it's brought on the story in the Gemara, where a certain Tana went up to Shemaim, and it says, Elyonim Lamala V'Tachtonim Lamala, what it's referring to is that what's down is up, and what's up is down. Meaning, the legs are up, and his head is down. Because in the spiritual world, people are upside down. And that's why it says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. Eitz are the letters Ayin and Tzadi. Meaning Ayin is the eye, Tzadi is referring to a Tzadik. If you look at a tree, you're going to see a Tzadik, because a Tzadik gets his sustenance, he gets his support from Shemayim, from the heavens. And a tree also, which is just, we're just an, a Tzadik is just an upside down tree. And that's the idea of Tu B'Shvat. Shkoyach.
Sure.